Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
God is good. Welcome into the house of the Lord. God is so faithful and so good, and so much is going on. We have just a couple announcements. One, I hope that you all seen our sign outside. It is beautiful, wonderful. We're talking about other projects now that we can do to draw people in to the house of God and become family with us, because we are the family of God. So make sure you take a look at that sign. I want to thank all of you for the beautiful, beautiful birthday party on Tuesday night. It was wonderful. I also want to share with you, for those of you who know and those of you who don't, that some of you know that our mom that night, after that party, she did become ill the next day, and she did have a mild stroke and was in the hospital, and she's out now, and she's doing very, very well with very minimal effects. I've shared that with a few of you to pray, and so now we're sharing it because it's good news now. It's good news. We want to share the good news. In fact, I feel the presence of the Lord today. Pastor Ken and I were just talking about it, and I wanted something's been on my heart. We are such a blessed people. We are so blessed. Even when we don't know we're blessed, aren't we? God blesses his own. And Sandra has been, she played a song for me, and it's such a powerful song. We're going to do it again tomorrow night. She's going to put it on the screen again tomorrow night. It's a song just called Bless Me, and the words are so powerful. It's bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord, indeed. Favor me, Lord, till I'm the conversation of all my enemies. Until the world starts talking about us and what we have. And it says, bless me, not just for me, but so all these folks that's with me can have everything they need. And it's a real catchy song, but it has a powerful impact when you hear it. So come tomorrow night, and we're beginning a new study too, so you can be surprised. So God is good. God is good. He is faithful. Do you want to start or do you want? We're going to jump right in. Okay, we're going to jump right in, I guess, here. The title of this is Your Story Isn't Over Yet. It kind of comes from the thought I had long ago preached a message called God Has Already Written Your Comeback Story. And this is a call back to God and a call back to active duty. And I'm going to be sharing a little bit about that later, but you're here breathing, and you're here in this place because you were drawn by the Holy Spirit. There's no other reason that you're here. The Holy Spirit has brought you here today. So let's start with that you're in the right place because God has put you here. And your story isn't over. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what your circumstance is today. Your story is still being written by God. It already is. And, you know, I was thinking about our mom and how she's 95 years old, and you could say, a lot of people will tell me my best days are behind me. And I tell you that that's a lie of the enemy. Your best days are not behind you. In fact, today may have been kind of shabby. Yesterday may have not been so hot. So your best days are actually ahead of you. And even in ministry, our mom's 95 years old, and I won't give you the circumstances, but she got up a couple days yesterday and she said, I believe that I have an assignment that I have to accomplish. She's on assignment today. I'm just telling you, God has a plan for your life, and if you're not part of the plan, you can reject it, but what if your best day turns out to be tomorrow? What if tomorrow's the day of your destiny? Let's call it that. What if tomorrow's the day of your destiny? And no one is disqualified. You know, Abraham and Sarah had a child when Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. Their best days began at 90 and 100. What if your best days are the years that you think are, and what if, let's call them the golden years. Let's go ahead and call them the golden years. What if God has more for us to do than we think? God uses the broken, he uses the greatest and the least, and he looks for the least, and the enemy's going to tell you you're disqualified, but here's what you tell the enemy. I don't have to be qualified for none of it. None of it. God may give you an assignment, in fact, for which you are absolutely not qualified for. But he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. He will give you what you need for your assignment. You have an assignment. It may be to be a mother, a father, a sister, a brother. It may be just to live for Christ in front of your neighbors, but you have an awesome assignment. 2 Corinthians 3:6, and I'm going to hand it to your senior pastor, Pastor Ken, who also hath made us able qualified ministers of the New Testament, not of the law. You know what that tells me? We're not to major on the past. The New Testament of grace, but of the Spirit, for the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
No matter how hard life is, we are not like those without hope. We are not like those without hope. How do I know that I belong to Him? How do you know that you belong to Him? Because He said that if you would choose Him, He would choose you. And you say, where did He say that? He said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father. Didn't He say that?
Yes, He did.
But He also said if we don't acknowledge Him, if we're ashamed of Him, He'll be. So in a way, it's our choice. It is our choice. I can be confident that I belong to Him because I have chosen Him. Because He said if I would acknowledge Him before men. And I definitely want to acknowledge Him before men that God is my life. Jesus is my future. He is my hope. He's my entire hope. And I'm not ashamed to say that I have bought in to the whole Christianity thing. I've bought into the death. I've bought into the resurrection. I bought into the heaven. I bought into the hell. I bought into the fact that He loves me. I bought into the fact that He cares for me. I bought into the fact that I belong to this family. I bought into the fact that He went to prepare a place for all of us. I bought into the fact that you're my brothers and sisters. I bought into the fact that take anyone. Let's take a name that we all love, Kathy Pageant. I don't know how easy her life was, how hard her life was. She went through some hard things. She went through some great things. But I guarantee you, she can do a dance right now. I'm guaranteeing you, if she was here, she would be able to do some flips down. It's worth it. It's always going to be worth it. Knowing God is not about your intelligence. It's not about your education. It isn't about memorizing scriptures. How do you know someone as complicated as God? Because as complicated as He is, He's so predictable. He always loves. He always is fair. He never lies. He's always kind. He always forgives. He always does the right thing, doesn't He? So from that standpoint, God is easy to predict. I can predict, you know, that's bold to say you can predict what the ruler of the universe will do, but you can only predict it because He said He would do it. He said that when you call out to Him that He'll listen. He said that when you draw close to Him that He'll draw. He said those things. That's how I can have confidence in those things. Now, one of the scriptures that Pam had for today, it's a very overused scripture. It's one of those scriptures like, yeah, we know that. It's But that's the problem with powerful scriptures is sometimes we think we know them without really thinking what it means. So it's the Jeremiah scripture. This is God speaking, says, I know the plans that I have for Alan. And it actually says Alan. You go, how does it say Alan? Because it says for you. So you're supposed to put your name in there. The question is, can you put your name in there? Can you get that revelation that God is in heaven calling out your name saying, I'm not done with you. I don't care how old you are. And we all know from the book of Esther that who knows that God, that this isn't your day, that God has plans for you for today, that you've got to step up for today. And you never know when that is. You've always got to be on call. It's like a doctor that's all on call or a fireman that's on call or whatever, a policeman that's always on call. You have to be on call for an assignment from God. And if you pray, God, give me assignments. Give me opportunities. Now all you need is discernment. Because not everything is every car that's pulled over is not your assignment. As a matter of fact, most of them aren't. Every person that needs help is not your assignment, because there's more people that need help. But there are assignments that are specifically given to you. Just like David had assignments and Paul had assignments, you have assignments. So that's a personal verse, that God has plans for us. And I think that's exciting. And I love being part of where you know that you're part of it. I can deal with a little bit of pain down here compared to what's coming. And so can you. What I'm telling you is whatever you're going through is going to be worth it in the end. In the end, you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I am well satisfied. So keep running that race. You belong, I belong, we all belong to this family. This is my family right here. And this little church that God has given us, I look forward to being here so I can pray and I can experience the presence of God. And it is an honor every week to come together and worship with my brothers and sisters. It's practice. We are practicing for worshiping in heaven. And it's an honor to be here with all of you. It's an honor to speak the word and to be able to worship God freely.
So, so true. I'm going to share with you something about the verse in Jeremiah 29:11 that maybe you don't know. I don't know if you do or you do not. But one of the translations that I could have stood up and shouted when I did the research on this, he says, I will give you a hope and a future. And one of the translations for the word future is the word tomorrow. I will give you a tomorrow. You know what? Sometimes we think that God is done with us and that there's no tomorrow ahead. There's no good things ahead of you. But God said, the plans are good. I'm going to give you tomorrow, no matter who you are. And I hear people often using the term, it's not fair and it's not right, but they will say this about other people, I'm just done with that person. Can we say all together, aren't we glad that God never says that about us, that I'm just done? Do you know that he could be justified at times in saying that if it was based on our works? God gave me a prophecy on Friday, and this is a word, if I don't step on toes, but I guess that's my job, so whatever, that we are living in the end of the end days and the last hours, literally, spiritually, on the spiritual timetable, we're living in the last hours, not the end days, the end of the end days. And we live in a season where we need all hands on deck and all soldiers need to be deployed. And one of the words that God wanted me to speak out to the church was this: there are people that are AWOL. They are away without leave. You have no permission to quit. You have no permission to stop doing what you're doing. You have been called into active duty, and God's wanting to call you back into service, into active duty. It's not good enough for us to know the truth and the gospel message and have received it and just stay home waiting to go to heaven while we watch Days of Our Lives and old I Love Lucy reruns. That's not what God has required of us. He has asked for more of that. The one who died for us has asked for so much more. When 9/11 happened, there were many retired policemen and firefighters that they called back to active duty. They came immediately. It is an honor to be called by God and to be called back to active duty. I have two friends, in fact. One, some of you might know, Kathy Kriska. She was she was a respiratory therapist at St. James Hospital, and she was fully retired. She was just about to enjoy retirement when COVID hit. They called her back to duty, and she willingly came back to that hospital. Why? To help hurting people. Why did the firefighters go back and the policemen? To help hurting people. Some gave their very lives. I have another friend, Joseph, who is a nurse, 73 years old. definitely retired. He was called back. They literally, the hospital called him and said, we need you. So I am speaking a word from God to the church today. We need you back. People are hurting. He went back to the hospital. He worked on a COVID unit, and his mother got COVID. Don't tell me God don't have a plan for your life. Who was her nurse? Who do you think was her nurse? Yes, you got it. You already know. Joseph. God wants us back, and the benefit package, he says, forget not my benefits. God chooses the least likely. He chose Saul. And by the way, his name wasn't changed to Paul. It always was Paul. One was a Greek name and one was a Hebrew name, Paul Saul. But he called Saul. He called Paul, who was a murderer. Like it or not, God's going to choose some pretty shady people, and that may be you. But God's going to choose you. He has chosen you. The Bible says, I have chosen you. Listen to this. God chose you before you chose God. And I like that, because if it was just you chose me, it's like, well, maybe God don't really want me. I just chose God. No, God chose you. That makes it better, doesn't it? That God noticed you. You know, I want to say this. I'm going to give it back to Pastor Ken, but Jesus came for the broken and the hurting, and that was us. He came for the fringe. And in case you don't understand what fringe is, it's the little hem of the garment, the little fringe. Have you ever had a thing? I have a shawl that has fringe on it. That means he came for those who are barely hanging on. That means he came for those who are the least of the least, and that's me. God isn't looking for superstars. He isn't looking for you to be a superstar. He's looking for you to minister to the Samaritans, the one and the people, minister as the good Samaritan to the people that are being passed by on the side of the road. That's a word for you today. God is calling you back. There is no one who should be AWOL. God is calling you back into active service.
I heard it said once that if people choose to go to hell, at least you can do everything you can to try to stop them from doing that. If they have to go to hell, to have your arms wrapped around their legs trying to pull them back. When you were talking, Pam, about writing off people, that really resonated with me because, well, we all see the anger in the world and people are ready to snap at just anything. What do you mean there was no ketchup with the fries? I've got to destroy the restaurant now, you know. I mean, you see people climbing through drive-through windows because they didn't get their nuggets or something. So, but in relationships, you kind of see the same thing. But the problem with it is when people are lost and they're alone and they've created that. They've created that environment for themselves. God's love still doesn't stop towards them. His forgiveness still doesn't stop towards them. And so we can justify cutting people out of our lives and not fellowshipping with them or whatever, keeping them at arm's length, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't unless it's a very toxic. Now, obviously, there's situations where someone could be dangerous. And you don't want to, so that's just wisdom and discernment. But what I'm suggesting to you, because I said not everyone is your assignment, but I am suggesting that there might be one or two people that you know in your life that are your assignment that don't have anyone, that really you're their lifeline. And the reason that you can know that that's true is sometimes that's been true of you, right? That you've just felt like, you're the loner out there. But I would say that every time that I have said, I'm just done with that person. That's it. That was the last straw. Have you ever said that about someone? That was the last straw? And then God shows up with a whole thing of straw. And go, here's some more straw. Right? And then you find yourself again trying to work with that person, again, giving that person some finances, again, bailing that person out of jail, again, 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 And you're like, that was the last straw. And God's like, no, it wasn't. Jesus never had a last straw. And the song that we sang, Relent, the reason I love the song, God doesn't relent. He doesn't stop when you say no. He knocks and he keeps on knocking. Who is it? Go away. Go away, Jesus. He doesn't relent. He keeps getting in your face. He keeps throwing his love in you. You keep hearing about forgiveness. You can't get away from it. You can climb a mountain and he's there. You can go to the bottom of the ocean and he is there. So I would say about every person in the world, including yourself, you're not done yet. You ever, how many of you are cooks here? And you're hungry.
Yep.
Hey, is that cake? No, it's not done yet. You take those ribs out. Don't you dare take those ribs out. They are not done yet. Trust me. Get them tender. Get the barbecue sauce on them. Then get them back on the grill. Yeah. Bake that in there. Wait until they are done. So when you look at your life and you go, this is a mess, you're a lasagna. You just got to cook some more. You're not done yet. Let the whole, you're work in progress. Not only are you a work in progress, but other people around you are works in progress.
Yeah.
Of all the questions you want to ask God when you go to heaven, you know, I want to ask him, how was Lot righteous? I mean, Lot? I've never seen a more dysfunctional person in the Bible. The things he did, the things he said, the choices he made. He was a disaster. And somehow the Bible called him righteous? Like, really? So if there's hope for Lot, there's hope for me and you. Because there's a lot of dysfunctional people. And as I say, we're putting the fun back in, dysfunctional. Couple more. Sorry, Ben. My next one is short, so if I don't finish this, by the way, this is what happens. So we have notes, and there's my notes and there's Pam's notes, but if I don't read Pam's notes, because I'll think, well, I'll read it the next time, she'll read it, like, right away, so I have to finish this, because she does, that was a good part. I'm like, I was getting to it. God is seeking those who have a heart for him. Like King David. And I want to point out that not only did King David have a heart for God, but who else did he have a heart for? The sheep. And that's why the Bible calls him a shepherd. We are not pursuing things. We are not pursuing fame. We are pursuing God himself. We are trying to connect with the healer himself, the Savior himself. Not just to be saved, but to connect with the Savior. And you ever notice that a good shepherd hangs out with the sheep? Isn't that cool that the shepherd hangs out with the sheep? And that's what we want. We want to hang out with the shepherd. And years ago, we had seen that I had this book. I don't even know if you know where this came from. I don't think anyone knows where this came from. To know Christ and to make him known. That actually came from this little book of Bible gems that I was reading, and it said to know Christ and to make him known. And but to know Christ doesn't mean to intellectually know him. It means to be a friend with him, to know his character. And that's why when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you, it's not that he doesn't know that person. He knows them. It's just that he's saying, we were never that kind of friends, not like shepherds. So that's the idea, is we're getting to know God. So I know you know the answer to this, but as I turn this over to Pam, because the world likes to pretend this is a deep philosophical question. What is your purpose? Why are you alive? Why do you exist? Any of those questions. You should say, well, no one knows. What do you mean no one knows? You can't be this old and not know why you're here. You were made to honor him. You were made to worship him. You were made for relationship with him. You are just like your child. You have that relationship. We're made to worship him. That's why we're here.
You know, one of the things that I want to say is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things in his kingdom. a lot of people feel like that they're not special enough, so to speak, to be used by God, but that's not true. You're special because you're created by God. I want to share with you a story of, I followed this woman for many years until she died, in fact, and I follow her son now. They cook, and I told this on a Monday night. Her name is Mama Joyce is Cooking, and she was in her late 80s when she died. She was cooking on the channel, and she's a believer. She's a Christian, and many, many years ago when she was very young, there was a prophet who came to her church. And he told her, she was in her 30s, he said, someday you're going to be worldwide famous. He prophesied to her. Now, they were in a little country church, and I think it was Alabama or Arkansas, one of those southern states. And she said, well, I'm just a little, I'm nobody famous, I'm not going to be famous. That prophet just got it all wrong. When she was close to 80, I believe she was 79, her son took a video of her making fried chicken. A video of her frying chicken. And she'd say, you take the flour, you put a pan over here. Get the big pan. Get the heavy skillet. You got to have the lard, girls. Get the lard. She said, you can't. She is right. You got to dredge it up. And she was just, people were like, what? What? And she said, now you can cook along with me. And she said, put your apron on. You know, just the cutest thing. Millions. And millions of views, worldwide famous. He prophesied to her. There are prophecies in this word concerning you who are in those chairs who were drawn by the Holy Spirit here today. God is not finished with you at all, not even by a long shot. He has an assignment for each and every one of you. And you need not be jealous of someone else's assignment, of Tony Pacina's assignment or anyone else's assignment. That's not fair. And yes, your assignment may be difficult. Maybe you don't like your assignment, like Jonah that we've been teaching on Monday night, which is hilarious. But I want to tell you, every assignment is exciting. I read the story of a prison guard he worked at a prison here in the U.S., and his job was processing, though he's a believer, getting those who were released and telling them, today's your day of freedom. You're getting to go today. And he said, what a great job I have to process them out of the prison into freedom. That's us. We're to process. We're to set the captives free, to unlock the door and tell them it's time for you to go. And if you're in ministry, it's going to be inconvenient. For you to help somebody is always inconvenient. It's always going to cost you something. If you're going to bail somebody out financially, it's not going to cost them. It's going to cost you. If you're going to give them your time, as a minister, I can promise you something. Hurting people are not going to call you at 2 in the afternoon. No. 2 a.m. in the morning, not the afternoon. That's how it works because it's a test. Will I be faithful? No, it's not convenient. It's never going to be convenient. But the reward there and the benefit is so great to us because the promises of God, whatever God has promised you in life is going to come to pass. I'm going to take time to read you another story because God used so many people. This is from the Bible, and I'm going to read the King James Version, and this is actually Caleb talking, and this is what it says. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, he is 85 now, the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite, said to Joshua, you know the thing that God said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and you? At Kadesh Barnea. Do you remember that, Joshua? He's talking to his colleague, but Joshua is his leader. 40 years ago, Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart, from my heart. Nevertheless, the brothers that went up with me made the heart of the people melt and be afraid. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses promised on that day, swore, saying, surely the land where your feet have stepped is going to be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you followed the Lord completely. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive. This is Caleb at 85. As he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spoke that word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the desert, and now I am on this day 85 years old, 85, and I'm as strong today as I was that day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even is it now. And he said to him, give me my mountain. Give me what you promised me. God, give us the mountain. God, you've made some promises to your people here today. Give us the mountain. God, we love you. God, we thank you, and we fully and wholly follow you. God wants to use us, and you can take the mountain no matter what age you are, no matter what circumstance you're in. Go ahead and access the promises of God.
And his word cannot fail. I love that story, Pam, because it's one thing to be in your 40s and Moses says, you're going to get this mountain and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But then there was a pause. They were disobedient. They spent 40 years in the desert. Everyone said, we can't do it. God said, everyone's going to die except for the ones that said we could do it. And think about it, for 40 years, Joshua and Caleb were surrounded by the people that said they couldn't do it. But every time they passed each other in the street, Joshua would point at Caleb, and Caleb would point at Joshua, and Joshua would say to Caleb, I'm well able. How about you, Caleb? And Caleb would say, I'm well able too. And Joshua would say, you know, Caleb, one of these days, I'm taking that mountain. And imagine that now they're in their 80s, and you're thinking, you know, you're excused, you're retired now, don't worry about it. And instead they're like, Moses, we got to talk about, you know, Remember just a few years ago, you know, 40 years ago, that you promised us and we want it. I love that. I love that kind of faith. And here we are. I've been serving God for many years. 40 years have gone by, but I say I still want the things that God has promised. And here's the thing about the promises of God. They cannot fail. They cannot fall. God cannot lie. If he said it, that's just the way it is. It may not be in the timing you want, but it's coming. When Jesus said the birth of Messiah was coming, it was coming, right? When Jesus said that the second coming is coming, it's coming. When he said the resurrection was coming, it was coming. But everything that is prophesied in the Word of God, he watches over his Word to perform it. It either has happened or it certainly will happen. And Pam says we're in the last of the last days. It will happen. The rapture will occur. My mom was talking about a vision she had of lifting off for the rapture, just seeing people, the sky filled with people lifting off. We are in the last days, and Jesus prophesied that it would catch people by surprise because they're not looking for him. They're not ready for him, but we are ready for him. It is better for you and I to please God than to please man, isn't it right? It is better to be known by God than to be known by man. Look at the trap of wanting to be famous or wanting to be rich. Imagine that there's a room full of people. You know, there's Angelina Jolie, there's Brad Pitt, and there's Janice. To the kingdom of God, they're like, hey, there's a celebrity in the room. Hey, Janice is here. The angel's like, it's Janice. Like, who's that? Who would you get those people away from her? That's Janice. God knows you. He's got a hall of fame. And you read the 11th and 12th chapter of Hebrews, you get into the hall of fame. And there's people in the hall of fame that you never heard of, right? You got people like David, but you also have people that it's like, who are you? And I always like to call her Gertrude. So I'm Gertrude. But you're at the table with David and Paul and Peter. Who are you? I'm the one that told Jesus, just give me the crumbs. Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs, and I wouldn't take no for an answer. And here I am sitting at the Hall of Fame. I'm here being honored by God. So we know our purpose. And we know that it's more important to be, and Pam has brought this out before, and I love this example. Children of the king have different access than ambassadors of the king. Forget the titles of man. Forget that you're the chief of that or the chief of the other. You only you have to have an appointment. The title that you want, and I've seen people that they have titles that say prophet of God, you know, P-R-O-F-I-T. I'm a prophet of God. Yep. You got that on a business card, right? The only title that I want is child of God. What a title. Because when they're stopping people from going into the presidential palace and they're like, who are you? Well, I'm the ambassador. You don't have an invitation yet. And who are you? Oh, I'm the son. Oh, okay. Yeah. You don't need an appointment. So I like that. So we don't want to be lukewarm. We need to be serious about the things of God. And you know, the thing about not letting our heart grow cold is God's heart towards you hasn't grown cold. He's still just as passionate. Jesus still lives to make intercession for us.
We're gonna close out. I just have one quick closing thought. It's the story, quick story of the Good Samaritan, where there was a man beaten by the side of the road. And I said before, our ministry is to the broken, our ministry is to the hurting. And there were two religious leaders that day that passed him by. And I'd like to say it like this, they went out of their way not to help the hurting person. They literally crossed the road and went out of their way, so they went. We've been talking about Jonah on Monday night, and Jonah went in the opposite direction, went out of his way not to minister to the people of Nineveh. It takes effort, and it takes us having a compassionate heart, the heart of Christ. But God has a ministry for each and every one of us. He also has promises that we've been talking about. He has a mountain for us. He has so many things. And I don't mean the mountain as in problems. This is a mountain of a possession. Caleb got the entire region of Hebron. That's what he was asking for, and that's what he got, and that's what God was promising him. God has made you some wonderful, wonderful promises that he'll take care of your family, that he'll bless your children and your children's children to many generations. You know, we tend to think so negative. I just encourage you to put aside all negative thoughts today and think of the wonderful promises of God and trust that you can trust God. We're going to stand and we're going to go before the Lord and we're going to recommit that we are well able and that we are going to finish. God said that what he began in us, he's able to finish that work. And you don't know that tomorrow is not the day that you speak truth to somebody. The other day I had a situation where someone had said something very not good about someone else. And I thought about it. I thought, oh, this is going to cause all kinds of problems. And I just decided to tell her the truth. That was very, very hard, what you said about that other person. That grieves my heart. And that's all I said. That's all I said. And later I got a response and a change. You know, we have to be ready to speak the truth. We have to be ready to be used by God, no matter how difficult it is, no matter what assignment God gives us. And, you know, as a Christian, can I say this? We don't even have the luxury of being a little bit snippy. And you know what I mean about answering if Janice asked me a question to say something like, oh, no, real. You know what? Everything out of our mouth, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. People hear what you say. You may think, well, nobody else, but no, they hear it. It comes to them and it breaks their heart. But we're going to ask God to use us and give us that mountain. God, we just ask, and I want to invite you as Pastor Ken plays for worship. I want you as a commitment to come up here if you want the promises of God in your life. If you're saying, give me the mountain, God. I'm here for my mountain. Joshua represented Christ. He represented Christ, and Caleb came to him. He didn't just sit in his seat and go, maybe my mountain will come to me. It doesn't work that way. God wants to see that you're willing to take a step of faith and say, God, I'm asking you today for my need. I'm asking you to resolve this issue. I'm asking you to use me in the kingdom of God. Father God, I'm asking big things because you're a big God. I will not ask you for small, insignificant things that I can do myself. I'm asking you for the big things, God. I want more. There's more, God. God, we have lived a life for so long of less, Father God, but it's because we didn't ask you. You have not because you asked not. If you will ask him, he is saying yes to you today. He's saying yes. I will preserve your life. I will bless your children. Do you want your children to be blessed? Come for your children. Father, we just thank you that you will bless our children, our seed, Father God. That you, those who stand here today, Father God, you're going to bless their children and their children's children, Father God, as an inheritance. Joshua, Father God, said yes to Caleb, and he represented Christ. Caleb said, I want it. Joshua said, you can have it. Father, I ask in Jesus' name for every one of these people that's standing here at this altar that you would pour a special blessing on them, Father God. Anoint them, Father God. Whatever they're asking you for today, I ask that you would give it to them. Give them their mountain, Father God, because they've come for their mountain, Father God. They're not just going to wait, Father God. Father, I thank you, Father God, for the faith represented here at this altar today. They have faith, Father God, in you, that it, you can and you will give it to them. Father God, you would never turn us away. Never. We have seen such blessings. Father God, we're not the spies who said that it can't be done. We're the ones who said at a young age, it can be done. So I ask you, Father God, it's big. Some people are asking for big things here today, Father God. They're asking for so things on their heart, Father God, that they almost lost hope for. But Father God, you've poured new hope into them today. Father God, the story is not over yet. Father God, our best days are still ahead of us. Father, I thank you because you're the best. You're the best choice that any of us have ever made here today. Father, I thank you and I praise you. Father God, let us not hold back. Father, we thank you. We thank you already for the answer. The answer's coming. The answer's on the way, Father God. Father God, so many people suffer setbacks, Father God, because they haven't pressed in and chosen you, Father God. Lord, we choose you again and again. We choose you today, Father God. Lord, let us see miracles on this day, Father God. Miracles that will really amaze us again, Father God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the hope you put in our hearts today. Lord, we praise you. Just worship him. Worship him. He is worthy. He is worthy. Go ahead and thank him for that need being answered. Go ahead and praise him for what he has done and what he is going to do. Thank you, Jesus. All needs are provided. Father God, we thank you that you will provide the needs of everyone standing here. We thank you that you will protect everyone standing here, Father God, in faith, Lord. Pour out a blessing on them that they cannot contain, Father God. A powerful blessing, Lord. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We have come for you. We have come in faith. Father God, we stand at the foot of the mountain. Father God, that belongs to us, the promise that belongs to us, and we're claiming it. We lay hold of it, Father God. It's already ours through the cross. You gave it to us through the cross. Lord, we praise you. We look back on our lives and we see the goodness of God, that you have never failed us, not one time. We have failed you many times, but you have never failed us. Lord, we thank you. Give us a kind heart, Father God. Give us a soft heart. Let not our heart grow cold. Don't let us be hard, Father God. Break our heart, Father God. Lord, give us a tender heart, a gentle spirit. Father God, words, kind words, Father God, for everyone we meet, Father. Words of love, words of hope. Father, we thank you and praise you. Let everyone who sees us see you in us, Father God. Whatever assignment you give each person here, they're saying yes. Father God, I say a very personal yes, yes, yes. Have you given me, have you given these people hard assignments? Yes. We accept them. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the love, Father God. We turn our face towards you, Father God. We give you praise this day. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the stripes you bore. Thank you for deliverance, for healing, for breaking strongholds, for healing marriages, for blessing with children, Father God, and grandchildren. Thank you, Lord, for breath, for the steps we take, for the things we see and hear. Thank you for opportunity, assignment. Father, we come back to active duty in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask, Father God, that anyone who comes in this place will never leave without a blessing, Father God. These are reserved seats. They are not empty. They are reserved. Father, we thank you for the people that will come to hear your word. In Jesus' name, worship. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming into the house of God. May he bless you and keep you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.